And now we have Deborah Grace Kata as our next reader.
These two are actually written during Marian Robinson's reading. I wound up writing two poems. This one's called Prayers for My Children and Their Wild Animals. My children study animals. Glossy fur and rainbow scales fill page after earth-laden page. But I am terrorized that home, earth, terra, is dying, and my children will be the witnesses. Do they have to be so interested in the mako and the great white shark? And the great manta ray flying through emptier and emptier blue, blue waters? Will he still be there so my sons can count the remoras hitching a ride? Or will they have to watch all the tigers of the ocean dragged out by nets, hooks, and gunshot into the gaping, stinking air by cheering, beer-swilling rednecks or corporate, uncaring ship nets? I want to protect my children from the inevitable, and so my prayers come. Please don't let all the wild elephants be blinded or blindsided by development. Please don't let the last polar bear melt away with the disappearing ice flows. Please don't let otters only be known by an old, dusty fur coat in a closet. Please let my children live with fur and wings, birdsong and whale calls, scales and fangs, and let them be alive and fighting, both my children and the wild animals they so love. Nice. This is what does it. It's from my niece, Grace Nation. Seeing a miniature coffin does it, brings back Grace, quiet and too white, too still a bundle of lace, cap and clothes gentled flat, but there is no breath to wrinkle it. Such a box for the grave should never be made that small, and I wonder, if I lay down and put my ear close to the earth, will I catch any of her lost heartbeats? Looking down the barrel of that gun, too. Hunting sustenance and escape from starvation, O great white shark, I call out to you, as you hunt your watery dim path through to your future, to my future, to the future, please do crack open the turquoise egg of the ocean and drown each and every one of us in your ancient DNA-drawn elasmobranch desires. Let the skyscraper crown of San Francisco be rooted and displayed in a saltwater basin. You can propel your pirate shipwreck shark hunt through, circling patient around architectural wonders, the curdled saltwater shredded by your denticle skin, the tooth that will outlast you owned now by your need that ignores how you once owned the ocean itself. Now you glide by offices still filled with bewildered suits, too filled with their lunches of crisp green bills to notice they are holding their breath, waiting for the next big break, too busy to notice the pearly shafts of watery sunlight that the great white shark glides around, still trying to decide if we are worthy enough to be prey. The search. Somewhere there is a word searching for me, where the mud is deep and rich. It is digging itself up from a grave of fertility, knowing its own rights won't come of its own accord, but must be from my cord, my knot, my tie to the earth, which pulls me downward, letting gravity sleep in my bones, which become heavier with each passing year, closer to the temple columns holding up the worship of stars I may never get close enough to curse or be burned by. And this word has kissed death, slept with fate, and fought destiny to a standstill. But it can't find me, because I am wide open to the shout of blue sky, trampled by the too bright green of a sweep of nodding grass, tempted by trees that tickle the word, there where it worms its ways between roots, which always try to pull the earth upward in a slow crawl, trying to find the piece of cold black space. But perhaps before I die, the word and I will find each other, and another nova will come into being as a new universe is born. This poem is a sentence acrostic based on a sentence from the Declaration of Independence. Declaration. We necklace our chokehold of American cities across once fertile fields, hold our wallets, twisted heart clothes filled with paper, plastic pictures, that know these pallid, faded reflections of childhood dreams are not the only truths told in moments ticking us forward into the alarm of tomorrow, to be given just a passing hobo hitchhiker glance of longing and mourning for truth, to be there for us at 3 a.m. when the clock and moon cry foul, cry don't forget, cry be still each self known to all cyberspace data streams that cannot match ads to our loneliness, evident of the fact that we only acknowledge each other at weddings, at births, at funerals, that we barely know to swim upstream against genetic wishes our ancestors unburdened onto us. All chalkboard versus DNA disagreements tested out until we fail our own expectations, men and women growing blinder each passing year from multiple media pollution, are searching out their own lost hopes in each newborn's eyes when the blue-gray film created by Gaia in a fit of compassionate infancy before we see what loss equal in distribution is fingerprinted unique onto each hand, before it can reach out wanting that umbilical line of cloyingly close communication when blood spoke to blood wanting, all returned to us during the steaming bed game search when we almost merged during orgasm's little death, are almost touched deep enough in return before limp expectations and semen stayed inside, endowed equally with failure and hope perform their mimicking ego dance of endings. By use of words that unbridge us from each other's bodies, by use of that same old song that their fear guarantees is a corporate resolution generated in too many meetings as a foreshadowing of creator-bred black moments spent in payphone collect calls to a lying God that is no longer good enough, with the world shrinking down to final cell phone call, red button ending airliner World Trade Center disaster, certain to create martyrs in all the dark places where angels dare not tread on the head of a nuclear pin parting unalienable truth of hanged on death falling sweet bitter life back to the Nova ending we once emerged from, rights of stardust revoked as we unravel our own blueprints and try to legislate away our own deification that cannot clone a protection from ourselves because we do not know who we are. Among a universe of seemingly silent stars who won't speak to us, and we can't bring close enough to tell us why these hard questions hurt, and why this middling star spins anyway, and why on this one planet a billion people are rushing like lemmings to pave over paradise in favor of concrete cliffs that can crush us, as life betrays our silent womb-worn beginnings in favor of nosy, noisy voices we ignore in peril. Liberty, a jilted lover, in left in sackcloth and ashes at the fanatic corporate religious lockdown doors, and each new baby's cry is an echo of oceanic loss, as unpolluted saltwater drains from eyes, as the wind of war balloons out our lungs until funereal smoke cuts off that final bone-to-bone connection. So pursuit of that seven-year complete cell-to-cell renewal is lost, and we stretch out our souls with arms of longing for that final self-reflection of our face in a subway stranger's eyes, finding happiness at the end of the line, finally being just a handshake and a smile between us. Mm. Who and what were we thinking? When they took those photographs, smiling for those back home, what were they thinking? Did they have the naked prisoners move together closer so that they could get everybody together, frame for a future they never figured would plaster them across the front pages, transmit their pictures around the world, on TV, on computer screens, and over backyard fences? Did you hear that so-and-so's son was one of them? I heard that the local guy took off. Pictures of women's soldiers. I mean, really, Iraqis are one thing. They carefully documented everything. Every action was catalogued, every order followed. Questions and defenses only came later. In the London suburbs, in the Chicago suburbs, across this untied country, everything was planned except the future. When the leash was attached, neither guard nor prisoner understanding a word each other said, the leash was understood. When that naked anger whipped into that Arabic back, when that man on the bottom of the pile of bottoms, when that Iraqi crucified on electric wires, when they all go home, what then? Will we supply counseling when the nightmares steal into desert nights until sleep costs too much and cigarettes don't stave off the dark long enough? Will we offer protection when wives and sisters know it was him, naked, tied, bum up in the air, and he can't stand it as he lands blow after blow on the anguished faces of his family? when there is no family to go home to, not even neat and tidy graves, only a large burial mound and a list of names. We be there to help that ex-prisoner pray for his anger and his God to welcome him early as he reaches out scarred hands and gather in as much of a bombed-out crowd as he can until there is little to bury, even in a mass grave. When we called our neighbor Raghead because he took the best parking place on the street and our children are watching us. When we allowed another stolen election to slip by us into smiling blank screens and boxes. When we allowed another war to start against another dictator we'd trained and supplied and now imitate in our own prison atrocities. Were any of us thinking at all anymore? I tried to read the newspaper today. And the print worded me out. I was squeezed between the black and white, so all the gray tones washed away, and I lost so much. The Peace and Justice Commission betrayed itself, and the wail of whale song sank, because the cause of the great gray whale should not be allowed on a Peace and Justice Commission concerned only with street lights and the size of the new school's parking lot. The local library wants to use our love of techno tarnish to radio tag each of our book thoughts, and a few more people hesitate, their hand on failing freedom paper spines, their thoughts catching on religion smelling of sand, their eyes catching on politics of red states and blue states and rainbow states, and fear leaves the book on the shelf. I tried to read the newspaper today, and the local mayor told my citizenship that my local paper isn't important enough for him, unless he wants my vote for his paper's stolen accomplishments, and the local bookstore won't carry the local paper because free papers make too much mess, and that could be bad for business. I tried to read the newspaper today in the home of the BTK serial killer, the Wichita, Kansas home of my cousins, uncle, and great aunt, boasted that people will be safer, while more and better guns. While my hometown mourns another street shooting death that leaves a young woman's family and friends with only stories and tears, without her smile to comfort. I tried to read the newspaper today, and a commentary on Bush left me chewing my already hard-bitten nails, and each larger, higher statistic is a stunned soldier's American funeral with gunshot goodbyes above a too green, wet lawn cut up by new, humped graves. Or it is the last family member of a family lineage of shopkeepers that once shook off the dust of 1,000 Babylon years, quickly interred by survivors, still dirty with dust, from yesterday's fast funeral of 3 children's burned-out bodies, 3 small box coffins that just won't make it into those statistics. And finally, I couldn't read the newspaper anymore. One more? Refusing to analyze the snowflake moments. When I wake up, I still want to be me, but every snowflake moment changes the weather facade I front the world with. And when the music of the morning drags me caffeine-less into the next priced-out, oversold, bitchin'-heat day, I won't be that me anymore, because time has betrayed all my timeless ambitions, and I know, as I once told my father, that I will probably be infamous, the illegal flip of that fame parents always want for their progeny. But unlike my sister Odd, I seem to bleed too much when I write out dreams for myself. And the flowers my birth family loves don't grow out of blood. They are drawn from and grow out of neat, boxed-in packages of garden soil, garden gloves, and garden rose that my sister the artist is so calmly adequate at. But children grow from and out of blood. They are first connected with a spark of electricity sustained by rich red fluid, that messy, bloody, hoped-for beginning. And I never turned away from beginnings, like those bloodshot, sad eyes filled with painful hummings that made my bones cry at night, because those same eyes are tracing the skeletal outlines propping up my dreams. So I walk the dusty, busted-up, broken-down alleys instead of scurrying down 9-to-5 sidewalks, and I fill my eyes with rain as I fall back against stone hillsides, and I hum back to the sad eyes that mirror stark realities I've already struggled my way through, bringing my health down low because I never considered, no, never even haggled at the price. I just walked up to love and said, come with me. I'll show you the puzzled path the heart jigsaws down, and we'll strut our stuff up, over, and down into the slack pillows dreams exhaust themselves on. We'll make children of blood and words and hope to touch a future we may never change fast enough to catch. Though we try every bar, bookstore, and business, we pass for possibilities and promises. Just as businesses promise false, priced-out pastel possibilities, just as a bookstore burns fever dreams down through the ages, just as a bar can bring me a new love, drunk with all the promises fragile eyes can make. So I promise to speed up and pass on by the future my lover was promised shouldn't come to pass. Because I mate my heart for life and all the jigsaw pieces of my heart repattern themselves for each new love, that at the least leaves a ghost pattern imprint, which can only be seen with the exactly right song, heard at midnight, in back of a church, after a terrible disaster costing too many lives, making this old, puzzled heart ache hard. And I know somewhere my first mating still lives on, just as my current mate fathering our children up and on through these betrayed, war-drawn ages, lives and in living bleeds the puzzle of my heart. Without question of pain, for pain is ever there. Just as twinkling lit hills laying back from the sway of oceans are ever there. Just as warm heat from a metal grate or from between aroused hips are ever there. And just as I am ever there, on the edge of an illegal tomorrow, drunk only on the possibility of true love, knowing that with each reckless step, with each kicking leap, I will be there to catch you when you fall. Because whoever you are, who hears this or reads this, or needs this as an alcoholic needs a drink, or a junkie needs a fix, or a cancer patient needs one more cigarette drag, you have fallen into life, not just the dream of living so many muddle their way through pretending, but real, dirty, uncomfortable, joyous life that squalls when you spank it into starting, that cries snotty tears of confusion on lovers' t-shirt shoulders, life that grips you on the shoulders hard and rocks your arc back sinuously through orgasmic cries to shudder you awake, and alive, and the snowflakes may melt, and the blood might be cleaned away with soap and determination and blindly kind eyes, but life goes on loving you anyway. Because dreams can feed you or feed a beast, that monster loneliness known too well when you are alone, that will finally leave you during your brief short time on this tawdry, downtrod ball of rock, whenever someone holds you through the long night of our downfall and whispers into your ear, I still love you, no matter what.
Right, thank you, Deborah. That's wonderful.